All right. Well, good afternoon or good evening. Before we get started talking about the draft, what I'd like to do is kind of recognize our personnel staff. I think that obviously this is quite the ordeal that everybody, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of man hours that go into this draft, and we are very fortunate here at the Broncos to have a tremendous personnel staff. Before I do that, I'd like to thank all the coaches. The coaches were very much involved. We had a great draft room, and it was very copacetic, and everybody didn't necessarily agree on everything, but when we made the pick, we did. And so I'd like to thank all the coaches for all their hard work, and also point out Matt Russell, Tom Heckert, Adam Peters, and John Spytek, who lead the pro and college departments. I'd like to really thank the unsung heroes, and that's our area scouts, Eugene Armstrong, Dave Bratton, Scott DeStefano, Cornell Green, Nick Cirelli, and Brian Stark. And the other side, on the pro side also, I'd like to thank A.J. Durso, Darren Mugi, Mark Thews, Klein Kubiak, Mike Sullivan, Champ Kelly, and Pam Pabsdorf for all their hard work. You know, tonight I'd like to make special mention of one very special person that's been here with the Broncos for a long time, and that's Cornell Green. He's been here for 28 years as a Bronco scout, 38 years as an NFL scout, and has been working in the NFL for 46 years, working as a scout and a player. Many of you may not know, but Cornell was a 7-time Pro Bowl selection in the 14 years that he played as a defensive back for the Dallas Cowboys, and actually he started his scouting career before he finished his playing career, and so he could do it all. But Cornell has been an unbelievable player for the Cowboys, and been an unbelievable scout for the Broncos, and a big participant in what we've done for a long, long time. Cornell has decided to retire after 28 years with the Broncos, and so what we'd like to do is give him special recognition. And Cornell, I'd like to have you come up, and I'd like to give you this jersey. I know it's not your game jersey. I know your game jersey, Cornell, was 34, but this will be 28 for 28 years with the Broncos. Okay. Thanks again, Cornell. As far as the draft, I felt very good about the draft. Gary and I were just talking about it, and I really feel good about not only the type players we got, but the mentality of the players that we have, and the toughness that they're going to bring to the football team. So, you know, starting with number four, Max Garcia, all the way through, that, you know, really – obviously, it never falls perfect for you, and it's always hard to say how it's going to fall, but for the most part, it fell in our minds very well for us, and we're really excited about the 9 players we did get in the draft. So with that said, I'll go ahead and open it up to some questions. And I'll bet, Mike, you get to go first. Does anybody else get mad about Mike going first every single time?
Oh, you know, old guys first. But anyway, guys, was there anything about the draft, was there a position of need that, you know, you didn't get from this draft?
Well, personally, I feel pretty good about all the different players that we had. I think that when we looked at the different options that we did have, obviously offensive line was a point that we needed, a place we needed to get better. We feel like we really did with Ty and Max Garcia. And so 2 players that can come in and compete for jobs right away. Lorenzo Doss was a good corner with tremendous ball skills that's going to come in and compete. Darius Kilgo brings some size at the nose guard position. And so really got some guys that can come in and compete.
John, you famously said in January that the team had not gone out kicking and screaming the last 3 years, and you set about to toughen up this roster, including the draft and free agency and the coaching staff and all. How do you think this team is in that toughness category?
Well, I mean, I feel really good about it, as I talked about. I feel really good about the players that we brought in. I think that you've all had a chance to meet, the first three picks and Shane, Ty, and Jeff, and the mentality that they have, I think, runs true throughout the rest of the draft, and the competitiveness that they bring, and the toughness and the love of the game. And so I think that was definitely something that we concentrated on in trying to find those type players. And I think we were, fortunate to be able to get the type players we had, as I said, not only on the field, but the toughness and the mentality that they bring on the field and the type of people they are off the field.
John, most of us didn't get a chance to see a lot of film on Trevor Siemian. The touchdown and yardage totals are pretty low. That's all we can see. So can you tell us a little more about him?
Well, I mean, I think that's one thing that we looked at Trevor, and when we looked at him on tape, as far as the quarterback position, he's pretty well he plays well, and his feet and his technique and everything that he can do is pretty darn good. Obviously, we took into account, playing in Chicago in the wintertime and so really thought that he had some upside because of where he was and where he starts and his ability to understand the game of football. Greg Knapp went out and worked him out there and got to know him and felt good about him. So obviously if his numbers were a lot better, we wouldn't have had an opportunity to get him there. So we feel fortunate to be able to get him in seventh.
John and Gary, what was it that impressed you most about Max's interview at the Combine? Heard talk about that, and why is it you think he can come in and compete right away? Is it the zone blocking fit or his skill set?
I think his visit when he came in here, obviously he did his job at Indianapolis, but his visit when he came down here and sat down with Clance and James, talking ball, as a center, I think he has somewhere around 40 starts, with big-time starts being at Florida. Running the show up front. So we think, I used the word quick study on Sombrero the other day. I'd use the same thing here. We think this kid will catch up very fast, be very competitive at not only at center, but at the guard position. And you're always looking for swing people. But I think his visit really swayed us, knowing more about him and what he stood for and how important football was to him.
As we talked to veteran players over the last few weeks when they were in here for the start of the off-season program, they kept saying that the message is the same. It's still championship or bust type of season. Now that the draft is over, how well do you think you guys are set up to make a run at that goal along with having to rely on so many young players, which I know you guys want to do?
You know what? I'd like to say this, Lindsay. The fact is we're going to try to win a world championship every year, and so I think that the mentality of it being a championship or a bust is not necessarily the case. We're going to try to compete for a world championship every year. Hopefully we get that done. If we don't get that done, we'll evaluate what we did well, what we did poorly, and try to get better at what we did poorly to try to win it the following year after that. So, the championship or bust is not necessarily, in my mind, the case. But I will say this, is we're here to compete for world championships. So, and it's learning from the mistakes. And our goal is when we start every year and start with the draft, now that we know we've got some CFAs that we're going to sign and we got the 90-man roster pretty much set, that, we're moving forward into 2015 and this season. And starting from here, our goal is to win a world championship. And, I think that we've got the staff and the players to be able to do that. But obviously there's a lot of things that have to go right for you. But the draft is obviously a starting point, and, we feel good about that. So, the goal is always to win that. I mean, it's, that's why we play this. That's why we work. That's why I work. That's why Gary coaches and players play, is hopefully to want to win a world championship.
John, can you tell us about the two cornerbacks you chose from Tulane?
Well, Lorenzo's got tremendous ball skills. I think he had 15 or 16 interceptions in his career at Tulane. I think he had four last year and maybe seven as a junior, but has tremendous ball skills and cover skills. And so we're excited about getting him. And Torian Nixon is a guy that is tough, can really run. And, you know, we liked him at the, you know, in the seventh round. So two good players that can come in here and compete for a job.
Yeah, Gary, sometimes you send a message by the position you don't draft. You didn't draft any running backs, inside linebackers, and wide receivers. I guess an inside linebacker in particular with the injuries to Trevathan and Marshall, you're confident they're coming back, obviously.
Yeah, we're very confident and that they'll be back. And actually, Danny did a little bit this week, you know, some of our actual jog-through type stuff that we did. So. And Marshall will be back, too, so we'll be fine. But I think we've got great competition right there. And if nothing else, with those two guys missing some time throughout the OTAs and the offseason, it'll give us an opportunity to get a better look at some of the guys that are behind them. But we feel good about the competition. You know, it's time for Wade and Reggie and Pug to go to work with those guys, and they'll sort themselves out. But, yes, we felt good about them, as well as the backs and our wide receivers.
What did you see in Furman? Is he a hybrid guy, John, that is kind of linebacker safety type? Said that he sees himself as a safety, but he was listed on his bios as linebacker all the way through. How would you characterize him? Is he a TJ Ward type?
He is. He's a box safety. That's what he played at Oklahoma State. Played a lot of nickel, but really played in the box. And so that's, you know, he's a physical guy and really a height, weight, speed guy that we thought that could continue to grow, whether it be at strong safety, and that's where he'll play. But that's, yeah, at Oklahoma State, he was mainly a box, nickel safety is what he was.
John, we see Missouri, Colorado State, Ohio State, Tulane, Maryland, Oklahoma State. They come from everywhere. Can you tell us a little bit about the scout process, how big of an influence the scouts have throughout the year, what this job's like? Obviously going forward, now you have undrafted free agents, which you've been very good at since you came here. So if you could just kind of expand on really that whole process for those guys behind the curtain.
Well, I mean, they're the unsung heroes. They're the ones that are out there, you know, during the season and going to school calls and pro days and really are the ones that are rounding up all the information for us. And so they're the ones that make us look good when we do the picking. And the thing is, and that's why they're so valuable, because they do all that hard work and they get out there and, away from their families and on the road and school to school and do a tremendous job. So that's where it starts. And not only do they evaluate them as players, the background work that they do on their character and what kind of football players are and the knowledge that they have of the game. So there's so much that goes into each report, and that's why these scouts are so important to what we do. And they've been, as I said when I started, we've got a tremendous staff that does a tremendous job and really takes pride in what they do. And that is what gives us the ability to be able to pick the right guys.
John, over here. How much different, if at all, was it for you evaluating offensive players this year, considering your personal perspective having played in Gary's offense during your career versus the last few years when that wasn't maybe the same offense that you had played in?
Well, I mean, I think there's always a little bit of an adjustment, especially with a new staff, because everybody's involved in the process that we do. And so, I mean, I know that at some places, you know, some people are more involved than others, but here everybody's involved. And I think it's, especially with a new staff and going through it for the first year, it went tremendously well. I think we have, I have to learn about Gary. Gary has to learn about me. He has to understand how our staffs look at different players, and we have to understand how the coaches look at different players. So there is a growing process there. But I think what we did this year, I think it worked. It was worked tremendously, and I think we'll continue to grow once the personnel staff and myself get a chance to see the offense and defense, what Wade does on offense, what Rico does, or Wade does on defense, and Rico does on the offensive side, as well as coaches and. And trying to fit what they want, what fits our team the best. And that's why it's a learning process for us on the personnel side, too. And so we'll continue that process. And to me, it's just going to continue to get better and better. But I thought for the first year, it went very smoothly. And we were able to get a lot of good football players.
Gary, looking at the offensive linemen, Ty Sambrello, Max Garcia, they're both guys that obviously have shown some versatility, played different spots on the line in college. What are the specific things those two guys have that fit into what you want in an offensive lineman that made you want those two?
Well, I would first off say I think the whole group kind of fits a mold of guys that just really love to play and guys that play extremely hard. You know, it's something I got together with the team this week really for the first time. You know, we had a little mini camp, and one of the things we spent a lot of time on, talked to them about our personality as a football team, and the first thing we talked about was how hard we play. If you turn on the film, you know, I want people to talk about how hard the Denver Broncos play. And if you look at this group of guys that we've come out of this draft with, that's a common theme amongst all of them. But those two young men, they played a lot of places. They played in a lot of games. And then I'll go back to the thing I said earlier. We think we have two guys that are way ahead of the curve mentally as far as scheme, our calls, what we're going to ask them to do. So we think that puts them in a competitive situation, a competitive environment, a chance to help us quicker than maybe some other players could.
John, with Darius Kilgo, what jumped out on the from the film about him? And also, since almost all his experience is at nose tackle, does he have a chance maybe to really work his way in that rotation and get more playing time than a typical sixth-round pick?
Well, I mean, I think that when we looked at him, we thought, you know, obviously he's got great size and he's long and he's got some athleticism to him, and he plays hard. So, you know, we always have great hopes for these players when they come in, and obviously we know that we don't draft all pros, that hopefully they come in here and help them become all pros. But, you know, I think that we believe that he's a guy that and really what was left on the board, he was as good as there was on the board, and our top-ranked nose at that point in time, and so we feel like he can come in and compete.
John, this was a very different last year in the NFL, given the attention with domestic violence, sexual assault, new personal conduct policy. How did that change the scouting process, the draft process, and then when, aside from that, what did you make of the Lyle Collins situation? Was he on your board, or just what was your thoughts of the whole situation with that?
Well, obviously, the world's changed, and the NFL changed with everything that went on last year. And I think that, you know, we've always tried to be conscious of those different incidents that different players have had. So I think that not just because of what's happened in the NFL this year did it make it more of a point, but we've always paid attention to that. With Lyle Collins, you know, it's a really sad situation for him, and we're hopeful that turns out for him. And you never know how that's going to turn out, but, you know, we're hopeful that that worked for him. But I think with the uncertainty, with what was going on around it, you know, there's really nothing that we could do about that. We'll wait and see how that, clears up, and we're hopeful it clears up for him.